This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everybody. My name is Alan Ellis, and this is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. And today's show is pre-recorded, but I'll tell you what, we're still giving a muzzleloader away at the end of the month, so we won't mind if you call our producer and leave your name and phone number today, and you don't have to go on the air. So just leave your name and number, and you get in the drawing for the free muzzleloader given away by the folks at CVA. And we want you to check out their website, too, cva.com. So as I mentioned, we are pre-recorded. It's Youth Deer Day. I'm in the woods right now with my grandson Jacob, who just turned 16 on Tuesday, and we are looking forward to a great day. The rut seems to be in full swing, and hopefully that that big 12 point that's been running around the farm will be making himself shown today, and Jacob can take the shot. If we get a chance, we're going to go on Sunday to Dorchester County, try and kill a sick of deer. So. Wish us luck while you're driving around this morning. And for all those hunters and youth hunters who are headed out this morning, we just want to say good luck to you. Call us next week live and tell us what you did. And don't forget to send your pictures to me. That's right, for publication in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly. That's Ellis at EllisOutdoors.com for those photos of your kids with their deer. And we look forward to getting a bunch of those. So let's get cranked up here this morning. We have a guest, and actually we have two guests. We might only hear from one of the dynamic duo, but we have Jason and Jennifer Carter with us this morning from Carter Taxidermy. Now, full disclosure, I like to get my critters preserved, the memory of the hunt, whatever that might be. I've got a lot of stuff. So Jason is mounting the bear that I took in Garrett County, but I also have a deer at Donnie Travis Taxidermy in Chestertown. I have a mink at Jason Poole Taxidermy, and I have a duck at Precision Taxidermy, Johnny Barisi there in Catonsville. So I get a lot of stuff stuffed, and just want to put that all right out there, full disclosure. So Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Alan.
How are you doing this morning?
Good. Appreciate you having us on.
Appreciate you showing up early this morning and pre-recording this show with us. Jason, you're from Himesville, right?
That's correct.
Yep. And how long have you been doing taxidermy?
This will actually be my 27th season.
27 years.
Yeah.
27 years. And what got you started?
When I was 16, maybe 15, and took interest in taxidermy, and I actually was very fortunate enough to shoot a 176-inch buck with my bow,
mm-hmm.
and got it mounted, and when I got back, I was infatuated with it. It wasn't the best mount, but...
It was 176-inch whitetail.
Well, exactly. Yeah, I mean, at that point, now all I do is look at deer. I don't look at antlers. But back then, I was always looking at the antlers.
So right, sure.
You know, it was a good experience. And I ran in the video. I was in the back of one of the Field & Stream magazines back in the day. And I believe you actually did an article on it.
I may have.
One of the magazines.
Yeah, I'm old. I mean, you know.
We're all getting there. So.
Yeah, so. I don't have a nearly as impressive a beard as you do, though.
Well, you know, you got to work on it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You got a nice little chin thing going down right there.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
You know, it's looking pretty good.
Look how white it is, though.
It is. Well, I always use a little Just for Men on mine.
Oh, do you? I bet you do.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yes, sir. I ran in the video. I think it was an old Dan Chase video from back in one of the Learn Taxidermy and started there. And actually, just the other day, I was running through some old pictures because it was just the anniversary, November 8th, of me shooting that buck.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, you know, we took a minute to reflect and go back and look at those pictures and kind of reminisce. It's kind of my anniversary. It's my second anniversary. I got
With Jennifer sitting here, you better tell the audience which anniversary.
I'm getting kicked out of the table right now, but we're... I mean, that was one of my first anniversaries.
Let's
just say that.
Sure. Exactly. Good. So you just took an interest in it.
I mean, more of like an obsession, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I'm as passionate now as I was then, and, you know, I've always wanted to learn, and I'm still learning day to day, and nobody's perfect, but I just keep trying to perfect it. And matter of fact, I just pulled up a picture of one of the first open mouth jerry I've ever did. It was probably 1991.
Uh-huh.
And I'm actually looking back on it thinking, man, that's not too bad, you know, for back then.
Sure.
So, I don't know. It's just kind of one of those things that just keep progressing with. And I find myself working on my own stuff in the part time. So when you can actually do something full time and then do it in your spare time, it's, you know,
it's
a good thing.
Yeah, that is a good thing. I mean, it's not like you go, oh, man, I'm done working for the day now.
I mean, it's exhausting.
Now I'm going to go
like,
play chess
really
or something like that.
I want a competition piece, or I want to do this.
Sure. Talking about competition, you have won several awards across the years, and most notably this year you took first place in the Maryland Taxidermy Competition. Was that July or August?
It was the beginning of August.
Yeah, beginning of August. In the Masters division, which is a step above the commercial taxidermy.
I mean, it's up there. It's been a lifelong dream to be able to take a blue ribbon in Masters, especially in my home state.
You did that with a deer that I'm very familiar with.
That's right.
And that deer, it belongs to Laura, a friend of ours, who I was in the stand when she shot this
deer. That's right.
And it's featured in your ad in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly. People can see that online, MarylandHuntingQuarterly.com, or pick up a copy at your local dealer. It's free, and you can see an example of some of the work that Jason does. But you have a little help in the business.
Yeah, a little more than a little help.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I got. It's probably 75-25 with her.
Her. Jennifer is here with you today, and we won't make you say a lot of stuff. But you just want to tell us a little bit about some of the things you do in the business, as far as getting the the capes ready and things like that.
I pretty much get everything ready for Jason to mount. I do all the fleshing, all the washing, preserving. And then we mount everything pretty much together, and then I usually do all the finish work, the makeup.
Sure, the makeup.
Right.
Exactly. So, okay, so, I mean, I've seen you working out there, and I know that you guys do these European mounts, these bleached deer skulls, and I know that's your specialty as well.
Yep, I take care of all the European mounts.
Yeah, exactly, and I'll tell you, they turn out great, folks, they really do, so. All right. Well, very good. So, Jason, you can't ask for a better partnership than you guys have.
I can't ask for a better anything. I'm living the dream, to be honest with you. It's to work with your best friend, and she's more than willing to take on any task, and anything you'd ask her to do, she does, and she's capable of doing all that. She's got a real crafty talent anyway.
Yeah.
And but taking what she does, and she's faster than, I mean, I go to these competitions all over the East Coast, and
mm-hmm.
she's we're probably going to get her starting on seminars on fleshing and stuff. Well, she can do a hide in an hour, and some guys are like, oh, well, it takes 6 hours for me. She doesn't know how fast she really is and how talented. So,
wow, that's tremendous.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate.
That is tremendous. So, yes, you are very blessed indeed. So we appreciate you being here. We really
do.
I know you don't. I know you want to stay in the background, but, I mean, it's the combination of the talents, the artistry, the sculpture, and then all the prep work and the finish work. I mean, that's what makes the look of the animal. That's what brings the animal alive, so to speak. And, you know, you and I have talked just briefly off the air about my bear and the pose I'd like to have my bear in. You know, to me, it's important to have that animal look as it looked when I last saw it.
And
that's what brings back the memory to me. So, you know, if I've got my 8-point I killed 20 some years ago, that was just straight on, you know, walking left to right. I wanted it mounted straight on, just like a semi-sneak mount, like it was walking my 10-point same way, going to the left, little turn to the left, you know, that type of thing. So that's what I want to see in my mind's eye. When I look at that mount, I want to go, I remember what that hunt was all about.
Yeah, because a little split second in time, it's like freeze-framed in your mind.
It's freeze-framed.
It's just you have 1,000 things going through your head at that 1 second.
Yeah.
But that you remember it.
That's it.
I know that from harvesting stuff.
Yeah, that's what you remember.
I get a lot of stories from hunters.
Sure.
You know, it's always like, well, that's, I'll, you know, they'll come to the shop, and I'll I'll hang up various poses and put their antlers on it for them, and they're like, that's exactly how it was when I shot it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
right.
That's what I want. I want it just like that.
And people want to remember that moment, you know, that moment. So, well, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So, you've been doing it 27 years.
27 years. I mean, not full-time the whole time, but dabbled. I mean, I did it. We've been wide open. We're only taking in 50 deer a year to get me through the winter.
Right.
And it was unfortunate because I had to turn customers away, even good customers. But they respect that.
Sure.
You know, they're like, well, you know what? Maybe next year or whatever. Yeah. But not breaking your word. And a lot of the customers understood because, you know what? I understand. You're not going to pick up more than you can handle.
Right.
And then we decided to go ahead and go full-time.
Well, you're in landscaping.
Yeah, I have a landscape.
You're landscaping,
landscape
so you're doing lawns, and I don't know if you do snow plow and all that stuff,
but we just decided to say, hey, you know, let's go with this. And I mean, the first year we took in 80 when we didn't cut them off, and then it just blew up to 200, basically 200 a year. We're projected right now to probably do 150 probably if it keeps going.
Well, when I called you yesterday or day before, I think Jennifer answered the phone because you were elbow deep in half a dozen elk that people brought in.
Oh yeah, yeah. We had actually five elk shipped in from New Mexico. So we got a pretty good clientele based across the country. You know, guys and stuff that we do work for go out there. The one particular guy lives in PA, but you know, when you put something together and you know people see it and they like it, it's a situation where it's like, I'm just like, wow, I can't believe these guys are sending all this stuff all the way back to me, you know, and you sit and think about it, it makes you feel good, you know.
Well, sure.
And that even inspires me to even want to do a better job on it, so.
Exactly. Well, let's get back to just to rewind here a little bit to the competition. Let's talk for just a couple minutes about the difference between a competition mount and a commercial mount. 99% of the time, you're doing a commercial mount for somebody.
99, yep.
You're rendering their deer head in the best possible pose, the pose that they liked, and you're using the stock materials that are available from Taxidermy Supply, doing all your special touches and your artistry and things like that. But then when it comes to competition mount, what happens?
Now, when you go from a commercial mount, which is a good, solid-looking deer, great wall hanger, then when you go to a competition, I mean, you got to throw everything out the book. I mean, you'll have, I'm casting my own mouth parts and out of dental acrylic, and I'm making, you know, altering forms, and it's just fleshing the cape alone has to be so thin and precise. I mean, you'll have up to 200 hours in one deer.
Right.
And it's ridiculous. But, you know, the competition is so, so competitive. Now, a live deer wouldn't even score.
A live deer wouldn't make it.
That's how bad it's getting. And it, you know, it's good.
Sure.
But
Well, you know, a photo doesn't do justice, I mean, to a competition mount.
Yeah,
but when I go to Lars and I see this deer,
it's
got the veins in the neck. It's got the muscle structure. It's got different muscles in the ears. It's got...
Oh, it's got stuff in there you couldn't even recognize.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, from a commercial mount, it's a...
Yep.
And usually it's a heavier fur. I mean, it's a winter deer, and this animal was a very thin skin.
Yeah, those are real good because it shows all that, and they're harder to do that way because the judges, and these judges are world champions. You know,
sure.
Some are two-time world champions, and
you got to pay attention to the
eyes. They're the best. I mean, everything.
The eyes, the nose, all the details.
Get technical for a second. You got to have a nictitating membrane in there. You got to form what's called the coruncular. That's the very very corner of the inside of the eye.
We're going to talk about that in just a minute.
All right.
And let me do this, and then we'll get back to those details. Hey, the Maryland Fishing Challenge is a free year-round tournament hosted by the Maryland DNR Fisheries Service for everyone who's a recreational angler in Maryland. Eligible fish are all game fish, almost 70 species, that come from all over the state. There's five different categories: freshwater, the Chesapeake Bay and tidal, the Atlantic Coast, catch and release, and even invasive species. And there's a youth division, too, that's connected to the free online Maryland Youth Fishing Club. You catch a fish of a notable specified size, and you receive your angler award, your official angler award, and then you get an invitation to go to the grand finale next September. This is the 2016 fishing challenge I'm talking about. So next September, all the angler award winners are going to check in at Sandy Point State Park, and you will qualify for some great prizes and even your share of some cash. So the fish are biting right now all over the state. Deep Creek Lake, the Potomac, the Susquehanna, the Chesapeake Bay is just loaded with great fish. Off the coast, that's for sure. And don't forget, now is not the time to stay indoors. Go fish. You can read the official rules online at dnr.maryland.gov/fisheries. That's the 2016 Maryland Fishing Challenge. And we'll be right back after this. Hey, you bagged your deer. Congratulations. Now what? Well, if you live in Central Maryland and are searching for a deer processor, your hunt is over. M&G Wild Game Processing in Westminster can skin and cut your deer just the way you like it. And all your venison cuts are vacuum sealed. They skin and cape your deer for mounting if you need it with taxidermy services provided by Pool's Taxidermy. Now, M&G Wild Game Processing can make your venison into tasty bologna in 5 flavors. Deer hot dogs, snack sticks, and deer burger patties. Try the new Applewood smoked deer bacon, smoked deer hams, whole or chipped, deer jerky, pastrami, kielbasa, and much more. M&G Wild Game Processing offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off, and they're open 7 days a week for pickup. M&G is located behind Bullock's Restaurant on Route 32 near Route 97. That's 2020 Sykesville Road in Westminster. The website is mgprocessing.com and the phone number 443-375-7138. Call 443-375-7138 for M&G Wild Game Processing. Yum, yum. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose a Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built their reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Deer hunters, the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns this season. By donating your female deer, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. And you can win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into 3 regions with 20 chances to win in each region plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through any FHFH deer processor and fill out the entry card. That's it. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons as funding allows. The 2015 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit www.fhfh.org.
I'm a firefighter.
A teacher.
I'm a farmer.
I'm a barber.
A waitress.
A mom.
We're all part of your community. Every day we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good, others not so much.
But that's life. It's when you experience a moment of uncertainty, something or someone's behavior that doesn't seem quite right.
These are the moments to take a pause.
Because if something doesn't feel right, it's probably not.
It's not about paranoia
or being afraid.
It's about standing up and protecting our communities.
One detail at a time.
Because a lot of little details can become a pattern.
We
trust our instincts.
Just like you should.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
They just told us right away that we're going to house you, we're going to feed you, and every single one of his medical bills is just all taken care of.
They've saved my family from financial ruin. It allowed me and my wife both to focus on the most important thing, which was the health and well-being of our son.
We have phenomenal research, outstanding clinical care, and the generosity of public, which allow us to treat patients regardless of what it takes. And that's what makes St. Jude so magical.
At St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, families never receive a bill for treatment, travel, housing, or food, because the only thing a family should worry about is helping their child live.
Doctors send us the toughest cases to be treated at St. Jude, and our patients come from all over the world.
When we come here, they told me, don't worry, everything will be taken care of.
We could never repay St. Jude for what they've given us.
Because of you.
Gracias a ti.
Because of you.
There is St. Jude.
Guys, like having a place to live, eating food, wearing clothes, sending 639 texts a week on a shiny new phone, there's one thing that can help you get the money to do all of those things. It's called a job. If you're a guy turning 18, there's one important thing you need to do to make sure the job market is wide open for you. Register with the Selective Service System at SSS.gov. Failing to register with Selective Service would mean you'd not only be breaking the law, you'd also be unable to apply for federal jobs, many state and municipal jobs, and all kinds of job training programs the government offers. So guys, take a minute and register with the Selective Service. You'll keep your job prospects open. Otherwise, how are you going to get the basketball shoes with full-length responsive cushioning and an outsole cutout for low-profile impact protection? Take that minute. Go to SSS.gov and register with Selective Service and keep all your options open. Remember, it's quick, it's easy, it's the law.
Hey, drive home with me, Sean Hannity, Monday through Friday from 3 to 6 here on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, we're back with Jason and Jennifer Carter of Carter Taxidermy in Imesville, Maryland. That's in Montgomery County, right? Frederick County.
Yeah, it's
just, right on the line.
Yeah, it's just over the line.
Yeah, okay, well.
Yep.
I got it. And, you know, you got a couple nearby butcher shops that help you out with clients and that type of thing, and that's pretty cool. But we were talking about some of the nitty-gritty details about putting together a competition mount, and we just want to delve into that just a little bit more. You said it takes sometimes 200 hours in that. I mean, if somebody wants a deer mounted for competition, they're not going to pay you what that critter
is. I mean, there are certain, like, let's just say if I would ever become a world champion at some point,
yeah,
a guy shoots that Boone and Crockett buck of a lifetime, and he is going to spend whatever it takes
to get it
done. He's
sure.
going to Google the best in the world or best taxidermist, and
that's going to be you.
There's, well, no. There's several world champions. One day, maybe. I mean,
yeah,
that's my
long-term
goal. But,
sure.
But,
I mean, you were talking about nictitating membranes and crenuncular, vernuncular, vernacular.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bunch of stuff. It takes a long time to learn.
No, but what it points out is that you are a student of whitetail anatomy down to the tiniest, minutest detail.
I'm still trying to learn every single. There's 9 muscles in the ear, I believe. I could be wrong, but there's, you know, across the, there's that big face, that big muscle that comes across the face where you see the veins. That's called the zygomaticus. It's just so much to learn. If you can't look at it and name it, how can you put it together and make it right? I mean, to me, you got to know every, it's like being a surgeon. If you can't dissect certain tendons and this and that on someone without knowing exactly what they're called and
exactly.
do it right. So
sure.
that's my phase right now, studying more anatomy and trying to learn particular, all that. So
well, even with the rig that we had to skin the bear, when you get down to the nitty gritty,
yeah.
the tough part of any animals, that you know, the facial features around the eyes, around the ears.
Absolutely, that's where taxidermy is.
And if that gets nicked or cut or sliced in by some accident or
slip of the hand. For commercial work, those repairs are routine,
right?
But in a competition, like if you were to take
right.
a competition hide, even a bear or whatever the specimen
sure.
is, and you cut where that skin is, and there's nothing. I mean, you can't really stitch it. You got to glue it. Then you have to use some putty to cover it up. So all that plays a factor. The finish work on a competition piece starts the second it hits the ground. Everything has to be perfect, and you have to start that finish work right then. And that goes with dissecting the specimen apart, doing the flushing work, the tanning. All that prep and all that goes in that end result. And the end result of a whitetail is there shouldn't be any finish work. There shouldn't be any putty in the eyes on a competition piece. Commercial's different because they dry.
Sure.
You know, when I say mass-produced, I don't want people to think that their mounts aren't being taken care of, but for $500, can I put 200 hours in a deer now?
No, of course not.
But, you know, it's all relative.
So. I understand that. I got it. And so, but what, I don't know if you remember what you said, but when you were skinning that bear, you said, it's a good thing I know bear anatomy.
Right.
You remember that?
Yes.
You know, and that impressed me.
When
because
I'm,
you
do. You know, skinning down the legs and stuff, if anybody's trapped or done anything like that or skinned their own deer, they know that that's not that bad. But when you get down to the head on a bear, the ears are way back. And a lot of mistakes happen in taxidermy where they'll skin past those ears and cut that ear cartilage way short. So, you know, there won't be any inner ear detail in it, and it can affect the way it sets up and the way you bed your ears down to the top of the mold and all that, so...
Little did I know, you know. I know the taxidermists in general are very talented. They're, you know, they're surgeons, they're sculptors, they're artists, they're painters.
It's a handful of things.
Right? Yeah, they're woodworkers. They're you know, the whole deal, and you know, and it's just it's fascinating. It's a fascinating art to me. That's why I enjoy so much, you know, watching and going into the different showrooms. And I'm very blessed. I get to see a lot of
good
tech.
That's what I'm saying, different you know, varieties of work and showrooms and stuff. So
yeah, exactly.
I enjoy going in. If I go out of town somewhere, I went to New Mexico last winter, and we were bored, and I was like, are there any taxidermists around here? And they're like, yeah, right up the street. I said, well, let's go over there and pop in, you know, just to, you know, see what people do different, and that's how you learn.
Yeah. And I like watching. I like seeing the ideas that come out and the way the forms are made.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in Western Maryland, we stopped at a taxidermist out there, and I'd seen this mount before. It was a Cape buffalo, on 1 foot, that had two lions on each side, both suspended in midair with just one paw against the.
I know that mount.
Yeah,
it's been up at the Harrisburg show.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and people see this stuff and they see all kinds of these different mounts and that type of thing, and it's fascinating.
And it has a wow factor. I mean, it's like, how can they do that?
Exactly.
You know? And it's, you know, there's a lot of work in that, and it's just, you know, it's somebody's imagination coming out.
One that caught my attention many years ago, it was one of our shows. It was Marty Houlihan, and I don't know where Marty is now or not. The buffalo mounted on 1 foot.
Yeah.
You know, thundering down the plains, and there's this giant buffalo, only 1 foot on the base.
Yeah.
I mean, amazed me.
Yeah.
Just, you know, what you guys do is just fascinating to me.
I appreciate that.
But you said something very important there. You said that the quality mount starts the moment that animal hits the ground. And we've got deer hunters in the woods, or headed to the woods now. And we've got a lot of kids out there that are going to shoot their first deer, or maybe a big buck, the biggest buck they've ever shot in their life today. What do you want to tell those parents on how to take care of that deer as soon as that animal shot? Now, I mean, shot placement is everything. You've got to recover the deer. But once you put your hands on that deer, what next?
Well, there's a few factors. What weather, one. I mean, depending on the temperature. If it's very chilly out and cold, it's going to buy you a lot of time. Basically, what I call it, for a better term, is that animal has a shelf life. It's no different than anything else. The bacteria starts to grow. Especially if it's warm, the flies will come in. Basically, just get that thing to a shady spot, get it field dressed, get it to your local butcher. You can bring it to us, bring it to your taxidermist.
Go ahead. But when you say the care starts in the field, okay, so somebody says, I want to get the head mounted. Well, they're not really getting head mounted. They're getting what they call shoulder mounted.
That's right.
Okay, so you need to preserve part of that hide. You can't dress that buck out like you dress a doe out. You can't slice it all the way up the brisket and open
that
thing up.
That is a common mistake with the youth hunters, and a lot of the youths are coming now. They got into it because their friends are hunting and their dads are hunting. So we keep a lot of extra spare capes around because they will gut them. And another mistake is they'll go up and, like the old timers used to do,
cut the throat
and turn the cape. I mean, there's so many factors. I mean, we could talk about this for hours.
Well, let's talk about it. Let's talk a little bit.
You know, some guys are dragging them out of the woods with four-wheelers, and, you know, the shoulders are
getting the hair off
there with this kid. He's all, you know, and we roll him over, and it's a nice little eight-pointer, whatever it is, or a spike. It's still a trophy. And, you know, you can see the light in the kid's eyes, and then you roll it over, and the hair's been drug off one side of it. So, you know, try to get a cart or a sled, even just a cheap Walmart sled to throw that deer in. Is a really good tip because it's easier to get out,
right?
And you're actually dragging it against something instead of on its hide.
I got an old kid sled, a plastic one, when I was hunting in Pennsylvania. We were hunting a lot of the time in the winter and the snow and that type of thing. And you know, just two of us dragging a deer through foot deep snow is you throw that thing on a sled and
if you're coming across a winter wheat field that's freshly been planted, it's so much easier.
Sure.
Some guys use those deer carts. Even I've used wheelbarrow before.
Yeah.
Just to get them off the ground.
Sure.
Because we've had some bucks harvested now that the season's earlier in Maryland now that were pristine velvet. So we couldn't even grab the antlers. So we had to put it in a cart.
Right.
And I went and actually helped them extract this animal to make sure it was.
Sure.
And you know, time up to where, because the velvet is so fragile at that point. So.
Sure. And I know velvet. It can crack and it can split.
Most of the damage is done getting it out of the
woods. Getting it out of the woods, exactly. Yeah, I mean, and it, you know, if the animal's not recovered immediately, sometimes that animal will fall and, you know, damage. But that can all be replaced.
There are methods. The one in the ad was
Lara's.
It's artificial velvet, but she chose, instead of having
the dangly
shedding look, just do it back to original, because when she shot it, it was pristine.
It was beautiful, yes.
Well, you know, when they'll run to the woods, they'll tear them up. It's like anything else.
Sure. But, okay, let's get back to the in-the-field thing. And you talked about getting an animal out. What do you do on that first cut? You don't want to go past that brisket bone. You don't want to go.
It's better safe than sorry. I personally always stop right at the rib cage. Stop it as soon as you go through that little bit of.
And anybody who's field dressed a deer knows that you stop that rib cage. The only reason you open that rib cage is to get at the diaphragm to take out.
To get up into the vitals, the heart
and lungs. Yeah, sure.
But it's reachable without making that incision.
You commented on the way I field dressed the bear, but when I said to you, if I get a bear, you know, what do I do first, and how, if I take it to a processor, how do you want this animal skinned?
Right, yep.
And, of course, I brought it to you to be skinned, but you said the field dressing job was good.
It was excellent. It was a very small incision, which is less for us to have to sew up.
Sure.
And the more you keep intact, the better. So that all plays a factor, especially in a full body mount.
Exactly. So, but yeah, let's keep that in mind, that the field care is the thing. You know, don't drag it. Make sure the cuts are small.
You know, leaving it lay on one side in the back of the truck in the sun, even though it's up and it's cool, the hot side's down.
Right.
If you have opportunity to flip it over so it equally cools before you get it to the taxidermist.
Good point. Yeah, put a stick or something in the body cavity to cool it quicker.
Get some airflow.
Yeah.
And we'll throw ice in them.
Yeah. And so we'll talk about your care from the butcher, too. Let's talk about that. But right now, it's time for me to tell the folks about your hunting headquarters, and that's Clyde Sports Shop. Look, rifle season, shotgun season, firearm season is right around the corner. I'm going to give you three options here, folks. First one's the AB3, the A-Bolt 3. Accuracy, precision, and value. That's all I can tell you. The AB3 combo has a 3-9 Redfield scope, and it comes with a hard case. It is the most reasonably priced, good, really good rifle combo that you can find. Comes in standard calibers, some magnum calibers, and some short magnum calibers as well. You know, 243, 270, 30-06, 308, 300 Win Mag, 7mm mag, it comes in all that. Check out the AB3 at Clyde Sports Shop, the package deal. It's a black synthetic rifle, and, it's a great value. Now, if you want to step up a little bit, there's the X-Bolt. That has the, you know, adjustable feather trigger. Comes again in all standard Magnum and short Magnum calibers. It's extremely accurate. You put your own optics on it, but it is big game hunting perfection, and you will really enjoy taking a look at the X-Bolt. And finally, for a pump shotgun, it's the BPS pump. 12 and 20 gauge rifle barrel. Deer models are available. Features a bottom ejection. Comes with a DuraTouch armor coating and Mossy Oak Breakup Infinity camo. And you know, if you get the bird version, it comes with three and Vector Plus choke tubes, but the rifle deer barrel, of course, is the one if you're going deer hunting. Clyde Sport Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit number 9. That phone number there is 410-242-6108. The website is clydesports.com. Firearms, licenses, ammunition, gunsmithing, and scope mounting, all available at Clyde Sport Shop, 410-242-6108. And we'll be right back after this. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex at Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. You know Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linex Bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, hunters, you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons as funding allows. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus Junior Hunt Days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor, fill out the entry card, that's it. By donating your doe, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. The 2015 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit www.fhfh.org.
Hey folks, Pocomoke Sound oysters are now available in the shell or by the pint at NBS Seafood, 1223 Dorsey Road in Glen Burnie. And NBS Seafood has plenty of their own delicious frozen soft crabs to enjoy this fall. NBS is your Louisiana connection with live crabs, live crayfish, gator tail nuggets, and gator sausage. Now, NBS Seafood carries fresh fish, jumbo Gulf shrimp, scallops, fresh crab meat, and a variety of other seafood items. And they have the spice to make your seafood taste great. Did you know NBS also has pasture-raised, antibiotic-free dressed chickens? Stop by and see NBS Seafood or call 410-271-3202. NBS is open Thursday, Friday, and Monday from 2 to 6 p.m., Saturday and Sunday from noon till 6, and accepts Visa, MasterCard, EBT, and cash. 1223 Dorsey Road in Glen Burnie, next to Jim Donny RV. Any questions, please call 410-271-3202 for NBS. That's No Bull Stuff Seafood.
I looked down at my hands and was like, wow, I'm performing CPR on this guy.
And then I actually finally met him. That was probably one of the coolest parts of my life, being able to talk to a guy after I gave him CPR.
Reed was just 17 when he heard a cry for help. Thanks to his Red Cross training, he didn't freeze, he didn't panic, he knew exactly what to do. Red Cross training saves lives. Sign up for a class today at redcross.org.
This is Mark Levin. Join me weeknights from 7 to 10 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Back with Jason and Jennifer Carter, and well, during the break there, folks, we were talking a little bit. And Jennifer, you wanted to say something about the care of the game, something that was brought up and you wanted to make a point on.
Oh, no, I was just wanting to make sure that we did talk about the drag out, which you guys did cover.
Right.
But that was really...
Dragging them out, that's your end of the business. So, you know, you got to look at those capes and understand, you know, that... And the customers have to understand.
And that's a big factor for us, too, is we've got to try to inspect them as best we can with what little bit of time we have there to make an assessment so that we can point out flaws to the client.
Yeah.
So when he gets his deer back, because most people are just into them antlers, you know, they don't see the little nicks around the eyes from them fighting and horn marks. So we try to pick that out. And some guys are like, oh, I know he was pretty scarred up, but some of those deer, especially from now on coming in, they are... Especially the bigger ones,
they're ragged,
they're aggressive, and they've been out there getting it down. You know.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't mind. I don't mind those scars.
My
10-point had been in a fight, and its right eye was all jacked up. And I told Donnie Travis, who mounted it for me, I said, "Just leave the eye like that." And of course, he fixed it. But
it's so hard. I understand why he did.
Yeah,
it's
it's hard to do.
I've had him come in with the eyes punctured out before.
Oh man, yeah.
And the guy's like, "Can you mount it with no eye?" And I'm like, "Oh, I don't know.
I
really strongly recommend that you don't do
yeah,
that."
Yeah, exactly.
Most of the time, they'll go with you.
But you brought up a good point too during the break. You said a kid come in and.
It's so unseasonably warm right now that it's very dangerous for people's hides if they go overnight.
Right.
It can cause some serious
problems.
Yeah,
it was last Friday evening when we were touching 80 degrees.
Yeah.
And I didn't tell the story. It's pretty neat story.
We had a young guy come in, brought his deer. It had gone overnight. He looked for it, couldn't find it. The next morning he had SATs, which he, of course, could not miss, so he couldn't go until after the SATs. By the time he got to his deer and found it, brought it to us early in the evening, and it was already... bad. The cape was already slipping. I mean, no, it was not his fault. It was just so warm.
Yeah. So when you say it's slipping, what does that mean? That the hair.
Basically, the heat and the bacteria has grown in it, and the hair follicles have let loose. So basically, the hair basically will just pull out.
Just clumps out.
And it'll just look like straight raw hide underneath.
Just leaves bald spots. There's no fixing it.
It was heartbreaking for him because it wasn't the biggest rack, but it was a 5.5 or 6.5 year old buck.
Oh man,
over 200 pounds, just a big, giant, mature deer.
And you have to find a replacement cape that looks similar to that animal.
Yeah, that's difficult to do.
Sure, on a big animal, it is.
It is, and you know, it's not the same. You know, especially if it's a. I'm not saying that it's any easier, any better to replace a cape for somebody when you shoot it, but when it's a really, I really like mature deer.
Yeah, sure.
Big body, mature deer. It doesn't necessarily have to have a big rack.
Right.
But, it's like harvesting a big doe. I like to shoot what I call the long noses. The big, mature doe.
Sure.
With the heads are... And they're the ones that come in the woods and bust you first. And
of course. Happens all the time.
You know, they're the ones that you really got to watch out for.
On that one stand, I mean, last year I was getting ready to shoot the one that busted us more than once, twice, three times up there. And I turned around and looked, and there's the buck on the... on the corn pile.
It is. I think we'll take the buck,
you know. So,
they're ones you got to get out of there.
Yeah. But you talked about something interesting. You said about the people taking the deer around and showing it off.
Yes. On the break, we talked about that. One thing that we offer, because I'm really into trying to save these capes for these kids and anybody. It's a trophy. So, I mean, you know, they're investing their money, and I want to try to get the best product I can back, is... Even on the cooler days, the side of the deer laying back in the truck is the air's not getting it to
right.
it. So it's an issue. And just driving around, and if people get excited, want to show their relatives,
well,
or
sure.
grandparents, or
sure.
But we try to talk them into just bringing them as soon as they can, and then what I'll do is cape them out and get them, everything cleaned off them, and I'll actually give them the antlers back.
Sure,
take them around for a couple of days or weeks or 2 weeks, you know, because we're not going to be putting them up for a couple of months anyway.
Right.
And that seems to be, especially with the kid, it seems like that's a hit.
Sure. So in other words, take a great picture. Here you go, Grandma, Grandpa, you know?
Yep.
And here's the rack, you know?
Yeah.
So they got the picture.
Right.
They see the horns. They don't have to see the deer.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of grandmas are like, oh, I don't want to see that thing, but that rack's neat, you know?
Yeah, that's right. So there's something. But, it's a good alternative if you want to make sure, especially like you said, Jennifer, in this warmer weather, you know? You get into December and that type of thing. It's not as critical.
Right.
But, yeah, I certainly understand that. And we do have a long deer season here, and people take some nice bucks all the time. So it's a good
thing.
Yeah,
it's definitely a lot of big deer around here.
Sure, sure. Now, you know, most of the outfitters and so forth, when you talk about getting Western game in and things like that, most of them are familiar that their clients are there for the, you know, they're for the hunt, of course, they're there for the meat, they're there for the trophy, and, you know, local New Mexico, Montana, Colorado, wherever, they all have their own local meat processors, and most of those guys know that those elk and those deer and those bears and everything else are going back east or wherever to be preserved. So those guys are more familiar with doing that, you
right.
know,
and
exactly. So when it comes to big game, so I don't know that you worry too much about the big game coming back from out of state.
No, typically because there's a professional involved somehow,
right?
And you know, that's what they do for a living,
right?
And occasionally we'll have one come with a cape where they've caped it out, and it's the incision's down the wrong side, or,
sure.
But for the most part, it's all salvageable, and
sure.
you know, it happens.
But what we're talking about is the average everyday guy like me.
Exactly.
And, you know, and the listeners who are out there, maybe they're so excited about, you know, their 12-year-old shooting a buck, and they want to get it, you know, they want to get it mounted for them, and it's a great buck, it's a first deer, whatever, just like I did with Jacob. His first deer was only a 6-point, but I got that deer mounted for him, you know. And, excuse me, and, you know, you just want to make sure that everything is right. So hopefully somebody that hears this will think a little bit about it. And I recommend visiting taxidermists.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, if you got to drive an hour to a taxidermist to get the quality look that you want, you got to drive an hour to the taxidermist.
That's exactly right.
You know?
And, a lot of that goes back into, the prep is, you take your time to shoot your weapon, you have your backpack, and everything's packed in, everything's ready to go, and you're prepared. Well, you need to be prepared for the aftermath, which consult a taxidermist, even take a second opinion. You know, go to two or three of them, meet with the person, and,
right.
you know, find out what their standard protocol is, and go, you know, that way you can, instead of calling him in the middle of the woods and trying to get a hold of him, he's probably, or her,
yeah.
they're probably busy, so get that pre-planned, get that taken care of, so then you'll know exactly what to do and get that animal to where it needs to go.
Exactly. Good point. Yep, and I, you know, highly recommend that. Visiting, just, you know, pick up the quarterly and go and visit
Absolutely.
Some taxidermies,
yeah,
you know,
several of them in there.
You know, there's a lot of them out there, and, you know, some of them are good, some of them are average, some of them are, and so you just got to go and see their work, see their shop, see how they handle themselves, see what their preparations are like, and, you know, it's not necessarily the guy that has the taxidermy shop that looks like a doctor's office
right.
that's doing the best work.
That's right.
You know, so, I mean, you look at the work.
Yep.
You know,
exactly.
Don't leave all that other stuff behind. So,
yeah.
But yeah, that's a great recommendation to do that. So, let's talk a little bit about preserving the hide. You know, people say, my taxidermist said he had to send my hide to the tannery. But then you talk about preserving the hides in house.
Yes. That goes back to a more personal quality that we prefer to do in-house
is right.
that we have control over all that, and anytime you send anything out, you know, you're relying on someone else, and the bigger game we will send out,
sure.
the bears and stuff like that,
sure.
But we tan and preserve all of our deer and small game in-house.
And that technique has changed and advanced over the last 25 years since you've been in business as well. I mean, they used to call it pickling the hides, you know, and that type of thing. And there was always some uncomplimentary article about some taxidermist that didn't do the right thing and pickled the hide. But that's all been resolved.
Yeah, I mean, there's still, you know, there's so many different methods and tanning agents out there now. I mean, there's an all-in-one tan where you just flush it and throw it in there, and that's actually a very good one. There's, as long as you, like Jennifer knows this because she does most of the prep, as long as you prep that
hide. She rubs the hides with the brains to preserve
them. Yeah, she's over there with her Indian feather, and she's, she's doing the old, so anyway, that's funny. So, it all goes back to the prep. Doesn't really matter how you tan it.
Right.
It's the prep. If you get everything prepped and split and turned and everything taken care of and washed right and, the bacteria side in there to get all the bacteria out of it. You could pretty much just mount a deer. I'm not saying to do this, but if you prep it right, you could mount it with nothing.
Right.
But a lot of turkeys in competition are mounted with nothing. There's nothing under there. There's no preservative. They don't want any powder on it. They don't want any tanning agents on it because the acids will actually affect the feathers on birds.
Uh-huh.
It will on deer if you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
And it just makes a better looking mess.
But I mean, it's a toxic mess. I mean,
it can definitely want to wear gloves. I know guys I've met in competition, their hands are all scarred up, and they're like, oh, this is from 25 years of, using gloves. And it's like, I don't know about that.
Exactly. So, well, good. Well, we're coming to the end of the segment here shortly. Is there anything you want to tell the folks that are turning off the radio now and going in the woods as far as, pre-prep, whatever?
I mean, first of all, I'd like to wish everybody good luck and be safe. But, just give the animal respect. Just try to do the best you can to preserve what you have there. And
make a good shot.
Make a good shot. Try to be patient. Wait. Try to take an ethical shot, which makes a big difference. Since we started really fine-tuning the way we hunt, it's been the recovery rate has went way up. So.
Yeah.
That would be my biggest thing right there.
Cool. Jennifer?
I think that just trying to basically get your animal out of the woods and make sure it's taken care of in the best manner it can be taken care of so that you can get the best end result when you do get something mounted.
There you go. Perfect. Great way to end it. All right, folks, listen, we're coming to the end of the first hour. I want to remind you one more time that you can call about the muzzleloader contest. We're giving away a great CVA muzzleloader, CVA.com. Check it out. We will be coming back after the news with a little bit more of Jason and Jennifer Carter. Excuse me. But if you're leaving us now, you're going in the woods. I want to wish all the youth hunters good luck. Please be safe out there. If you're in a tree stand, wear your safety harness. Wear your blaze orange hat. Wear your blaze orange vest. We don't want any. We don't want anybody to get hurt out there, and that's the ultimate goal. It doesn't matter what size the deer is. It doesn't matter, how good or bad the hunt is. We want you coming back so that you can continue to listen to the Outdoors and Radio Show. So, all right, get out, stay out, stay safe.